Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Okay, book two, Bhandaka book two, page 186, with a sentence starting with Idam Amarpalam. Amarpalam.
Can I start?
Yeah.
You can help me.
Sure.
Okay. Idam Amarpalam Rikshat Apaptat Yadi Rojate Krihitva Swadaswa. Idam this Amarpalam, this mango fruit. In accusative singular, and then rikshat, a fifth case from the tree, apaptat is the aorist from pat, I think, where the pa is reduplicated. Is that how it becomes apaptat? So that'll be in the third person singular.
Why did you say accusative for amarpalam?
Oh. Maybe it's, sorry, it's nominative. It's not accusative singular. It's nominative singular for neuter nominative singular from Pal.
I have a question. Is this reduplicated? Okay, but it didn't.
Go to page 181.
My question was, why does the root change? Like, why is
it's
it
It's
like
an
that?
Exception.
Oh, okay.
Go to page 181, number 4A, where it says necessarily.
Yeah.
See, pat, right at the top, at the right-hand side, pat.
Mm-hmm.
It
number
has an
four,
unusual...
Number 4, you said?
Yeah, a page 4, yeah,
you know,
number
my page
4.
Page numbers are different. So.
Page 181.
It's the section that lists all the roots.
Mm-hmm. 4A, where it says necessarily. There's a whole list of roots under it. Just a few
yes.
pages. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Do you see where it says pat on the very top, where it says
mm-hmm.
lip on the left and
yes.
pat? Look at the in brackets.
Yeah.
It's an unusual form.
So it just takes that form of the aorist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you can look down and see there's other unusual
yeah.
forms here. And there's also, it tells you which ones are done in the Atmanapada, even
mm-hmm.
though most of them are all Parasmaipada, except for a few. So you have to
oh,
just read
I
through
this.
I
don't see this at all.
Don't you have put?
Put. Fine put.
Under necess- it says 4A.
Yes, yes, put. Yeah.
Put.
Yeah.
Do you see in bracket
yeah.
in the
yeah.
parents? That's why. So there's no reduplication here. I thought
sorry.
The same thing. I had to go through and search that
yeah,
out
I
to find out.
Yeah, I went through and looked on that list. That's how I found it, but I didn't.
Okay, so then there's no reduplication
no.
at all. It's just a
oh.
that. It's just a first case errors, then just a...
Just O is added.
Well,
it's
see,
a second.
Yeah,
it's
right.
second variety.
It's
second
variety,
section,
right.
Yeah. So then it's just a regular errorist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the mango... fruit, this mango fruit has fallen from the tree.
It just fell.
Sorry?
Just say fell. It fell from the tree.
Fell from the
yeah,
tree.
Yeah, because
okay.
it's just a simple past. Yeah, it
okay.
fell from the tree.
Yadi rochate, if you like, if, okay, so yadi is if, it's indeclinable. Rochate is from ruch in third person singular Atmanepada. So if he, I think the book said if you, I think this should be if he likes it, right? Or if one.
He, she, or it.
He, she,
so take it back to poem, the Amra poem. If
okay.
it is pleasing.
Oh, if it is pleasing.
Yeah. In English, you might say if you like it, right? But mucha
okay.
means if it's like if it's pleasing to you. So.
If it is pleasing. Grihitva is IPP from grip to grasp. Having grasped it, swadaswa. Swadaswa is from swad, which is tasty. And then the swa ending, I was getting confused on swadaswa.
It's imperative.
Oh.
Second person atmanepada, is that right?
Okay. Imperative second person doesn't have a
swa.
Atmanepada.
Oh,
I know, it was very confusing, but I figured it had to be an imperative, and so I just got my paradigm out and found it.
That
yeah, because I mean, how often do we see that?
If you like it, then haven't grasped it.
Tasty. And you know when they have the indeclinable past participle followed by the verb, you know, it's really just showing, you don't have to say having done this, then do that. What it's showing is sequence. First this, then that. So you could say, take it and may take it and eat it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
If it's pleasing, then
yeah.
You can take
if it pleases you, then graph, then take it and eat it, and may you eat it.
See, that's the thing. It says if it pleases you, we say colloquially, but really it is saying if it is pleasing.
If it is pleasing, you would say, we'd say if you like it.
Right.
But it says if it is pleasing. If it is pleasing, may you grasp it. Having taken it, may you eat it. But we wouldn't say it that way in English.
Okay.
And you just have to remember that it's showing sequential action. Like you could have a lot of indeclinable past participles stacked up, and then the order is important. This, then this, then this, then this, then this, and then the verb at the end.
But this is not the verb at the end, right? Because the verb is rochate swadesva.
No, because
it's imperative. Yeah, so it becomes a.
If it's pleasing, then having taken it, having grasped, may you eat.
Actually, swadesva
now taste it.
Getting confused because swada is a noun, not a verb at all, isn't it?
Well, all the nouns come from verbs.
Right, swada itself, I thought I saw
but
something.
It's swad.
Swad would be the verb.
No, it was swada. But where I saw it, it was swada.
But swada can be the noun. Just adding a to a verb makes it into a noun. See, I'll show you.
Where did you see swada?
I'm trying to remember where I saw it.
Like bood becomes Buddha.
There's probably a noun that you found somewhere.
So that makes more sense.
See, swada means taste or flavor, right? And swad means to taste, to relish.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm missing something very basic, that you can add a to any verb, noun. I mean, is this,
you know, actually, we'll be really getting into this at the end of the chapter. They're called crit affixes. We do it all the time. Like, say you take a verb like bud, to know.
Yeah.
Bodha, even Buddha.
Yeah.
So these are affixes that go on to the roots to make nouns. And there's many of them. Like, you know, the in affix that shows possession?
Yes.
You know, so there's many, many different affixes that go into the formation of a noun from a verb.
Is that true for every verb?
Yeah, every verb. And once you start learning these affixes like anna, akka, there's many, many affixes. They're called crit affixes. Mm-hmm. And they make nouns out of verbs. And so say you learn 10 basic crit affixes. Then you, if you know the verbs, your vocabulary is increased tenfold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. by understanding the crit affixes. So I think, and then there's the teditas. Those are the derivatives off of the crits.
So is this something
secondary?
We haven't learned it, but I did know that the nouns come from the verbs.
Like on page 215, lesson 26, which is not that far away, after the Benedictive, he's going to go into all of these. What's his name? Goldman has a good section on it, very nice section on it too. But this one is Bhandarkar's is really complete. It's so important because all of a sudden your vocabulary, you know.
Maybe it's something that you instinctively.
It'll be in there too, probably in book two though, not in book one.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at
these. So do all nouns come from verbs?
That's what they was asking
you. Yeah, so all of them do.
Yeah.
Well,
there's some.
Abstract noun?
There's a small handful of, and I don't know that much about this particular, there's a small handful of unadi roots that are done a little bit differently. But for the vast, vast majority, except for a handful, mm-hmm. all nouns. We're not talking about indeclinables. That's different. That's a different set. Not indeclinables.
True nouns.
Only nouns. Those nouns are, I would say, like 99%, way up there high, are derived from verbs by the addition of crit affixes. Mm-hmm. So the crit affixes go into making nouns and also verbs.
Yeah.
Because from a verbal root, so you have the datu that takes the crit affixes. Mm-hmm. The crit affixes, I think, form the nouns, and then the verbal affixes form the verbs. I forget what they're called. For some reason, I can't think of it.
Well, that is like a beautiful system.
I mean, just if you
and
think
then,
about it.
Yeah. And then, yes. And then you have, you know, these millions of nouns that are formed off the crits. And then you have the tetitas that are affixes that are done on, that are put onto the nouns that have been formed by the crit affixes mm-hmm. from the datu. Mm-hmm. So everything comes from the datu to form verbs and nouns.
Wow.
And then the nouns also take tetita affixes, which do, like the patronymics, you know, like where you see the root of vidi.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've got bud, boda, buddha.
Mm-hmm.
That's a past passive participle. Boda is just an affix. But then you have bauda, that ow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That shows that which belongs to the Buddha,
mm-hmm.
that which is born from the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tadita,
mm-hmm.
and that comes off of the crit.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you have rishi, arsha,
mm-hmm. yeah,
mm-hmm.
tadita,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a tadita affix
mm-hmm.
because it comes from mm-hmm. off the noun rishi. The ar is a
mm-hmm.
is a vriddhi letter, right?
Yeah.
And so these taditas often are marked by vriddhi letters. Not always, but
mm-hmm.
many of them. That's why how you can recognize
wow.
them.
So once we learn those affixes, I mean, just memorizing
what
the verbs mean, we can know so many words.
Absolutely.
And this is the kind of thing where I think you know instinctively what bauda
yeah.
means. You know
yeah.
it, but not the
not
derivation
the
of it, not the grammatical yeah. derivation of it.
You know, janak, janaki.
Yes.
Kumud, kaumudi. Like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those are all traditions.
Mm-hmm. That way, yeah.
And pandu, the pandavas, that pa, a,
yeah.
from pandu, yeah.
Pandu,
mandu. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But yeah, I think it's
Dhritarashtra, Dhartarashtra.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Those are all taditas. A lot of them are patronymics that show the genealogy.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But they have other meanings too, like born of, belonging to, located in. There's
yeah.
four or five meanings.
Kanteya.
So
maybe
from Kunti.
Kunti Kanteya.
Yeah.
Kanteya.
Yeah. And that Eya is an affix, but you can really see it by the vriddhi. Kunti, Count, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
Kanteya.
Right,
right,
right. right.
So it'll be really fun
yeah.
when we study these. It just expands everything.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really wonderful. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
Yeah.
So pleasing.
It's
so intellectually.
I know.
It just
know.
Opens
exactly.
your heart. It's
yeah.
so intellectually pleasing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really well put. It is intellectually pleasing. Mm-hmm.
I was just saying, I'm reading this Mahabharata again now, and I'm, you know, doing like 5 to 10 verses in the Sanskrit and then just reading ahead
mm-hmm.
because it's too slow for me otherwise. I want to know the story. But the Sanskrit is simple. In the Mahabharata, it's not difficult Sanskrit. Very, very simple. It's just vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
So this is helpful
mm-hmm.
to be reading this because we're picking up a lot of the vocabulary from the Ramayana and the Mahabharata.
Remember the Ramayana was not originally written in Sanskrit, right? Valmiki
wrote it in Sanskrit.
Oh, he did. I think there was
yeah.
a...
There's another one that's written in Hindi. Which one is that?
That is Ramcharitmanas Tulsi.
Yeah, that's
Tulsi
right. Tulsidas. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that is called Manas.
Oh, the Ramayana is so beautiful too.
So Swadaswa then is from the verb swad,
mm-hmm.
and then it has the so it must be like a first or so
it's
first or
first.
First
yes, it's a first.
And so you add an o and then the swa ending
yeah.
for the second person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Mama, you want to read?
Ida mamru phalam rikshad This was difficult
you
for me.
You can only do it.
Just read the first one first.
Sorry. Idam amra phalam.
Idam amra phalam.
Vrikshad paptat.
Yeah, sorry. Vrikshad paptat.
Yadi rochate.
Yadi rochate.
Grihitva swadasva.
Grihitva swadasva. Good, thanks. Yeah.
Hey Gange. Sorry. I need my other book. I can't read this.
I wanted to ask you, Karen. Yadi drishyebhya. Yadi. It should have been. Yadi adrishyebhya. It should have been. Is it?
She will read it. She will just do it right now.
Okay.
No, the
meaning.
It's yad. Idrisha.
Okay.
But it could be yadi idrisha also. That Sunday would still be good.
But that isn't the meaning.
Eerie place.
Oh, yeah, I got it wrong.
Yeah, it should be yad.
Because it makes more sense.
Hey Gange, yad idrishebhyaha papebhyo mamud adi taratha tataha satyam anat. Hold on, I better not put that. Satyam anat. Tasha, Ranamasi, Vishnu, Parapanka, Jod Pavasi.
I didn't practice my reading this morning.
Okay. Oh Ganga, so it's vocative address, and then it's yad, right? That's what you're telling me, it's yad there.
The reason it's yad is because of the tetaha, and that's what makes sense. It's like a correlative. You have to remember that yad or yet, just like tet.
Yad or yad?
Well, it's yet.
Yet.
But it can take any form in the singular, like it could be yasmat. Or yetaha.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the tetaha, you can use it as yasmat. And then it makes sense. And that's
something
really important to know about this yet and ted.
So it's like the fifth case here.
Or it could be the fifth or the third. Or the, you know. And so yet can be more than just like whom or who.
Oh, I see.
If you don't know that, sometimes you don't know what to do with that. But since it's the tetaha is there.
We
talked about
saying
it before.
Yeah.
You can look it up in the optes too. They talk about it a lot for any of those. So you can see all the different ways it's used. You have to know that because otherwise you just think it's like in the nominative singular or it's part of a compound or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, this is very basic again. But yad is from yad, and yad is the neuter nominative. And the accusative singular, right? But when we say yat and tat, when they're used as correlatives, what case is the yat?
Can be any case. When you have yat or tat, it can be any case. No, even if it was like you have the tetaha, the yat, if it were declined, it could be anything. It depends on its position in the sentence.
But like right here.
Right here, it's yat, and you're providing the ending because that's okay to do that. Yet can stand in a sentence.
By itself.
Can stand by itself, meaning yes min, or yes mat, or yet. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Or yena.
So even though it's present in the accusative or the nominative singular over here, yet form is...
You usually see it as yet. When it's a variant, when it can be variable. If it's not as yet, yet is the substantive. If it's not as yet, it's being declined, so you're already knowing what the meaning is.
Mm-hmm. But over here it is declined. Yad is the substantive. Right?
Yeah.
And
yet is the substantive. Oh. Yet or yad. It's going to change depending upon the sangi.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to check for
yad.
Yad is fine. I thought yad is the substantive, and then yad is defined as yat yayani. So if it's used as yat here, then it's already, do you know what I'm saying? Yat is the nominative or accusative.
It is, but it's also considered like just the generic when you have yat and tat.
And yeah, and I never noticed, I know that we always talk about yat and tat,
mm-hmm.
but I never focused before on the fact that yat itself is a pronoun that's a declined pronoun. It's not being used as an...
No, it's not being used
in the
as
substantive
that.
Form. Right?
No, but if, I mean, it could be in a sentence. You would use that for the neuter nominative or accusative, if that was what, like you were saying, that...
So like right here, it would be the neuter nominative or
it
accusative?
It would be, but it's not being used like that here. But if it were, like if you were going to say that fruit, because palam is neuter, right? You'd
right.
You'd say yat palam.
Yes.
That fruit.
Right.
If you were using it to...
But when yat and tat are used in as correlatives.
Right.
Then the usage of yat and tat is actually the declined form. Yat is the declined form, right?
Well, I guess what Carol's saying too is you can consider that it's in the substantive form also.
Yad is substantive.
Well, yad it is yad in this sentence.
Well, it's not yat which has changed
it
to
could
da
be.
By
it could be, but it's, you know what I mean? They switch around depending on the
I think
setting.
usually if you look it up in the dictionary, isn't it yat?
Well, in the book, in
yeah.
the first book, you know, where we talk
yeah.
about pronouns, it says yad is
yad
the...
Yad
Yad,
oh.
but the da is actually the substantive.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yat with the ta is the declension in nominative and accusative singular.
Okay.
So I was trying to understand in the common usage of yat and tat as correlatives, are they used as yad and tat or yat and tat?
It's good. It's almost irrelevant to say it because it's going to totally depend on the sandhi.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But we don't ever otherwise use a substantive form of.
No, you don't.
So this is an exception that we can use a substantive form
on
itself. I'm sorry. I
it's actually.
Focused on it before.
I don't know, I've never thought it through this much.
it just seems like it's a pronoun that's
yeah.
being declined, but then we are saying even though it's accusative
well, if we
or
look,
nominative.
If we look at the tut later on, it is declined, right? It's tataha.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, but that's,
so,
that's...
But they're being used correlatively, aren't they?
Yeah, they
okay.
are.
So it doesn't really matter. What just like, what I do is when I see yat and... tat or tataha, I just think to myself that it might not be modifying a noun. It might be being used in this kind of way where it can take several
cases. I know that's what I've
cases.
Always thought. I've never focused
yeah.
on the other part
yeah.
until right now. Is that really
it's being used.
That it's actually a declined form that
right.
is being used, but then even though it may be the first or the second case, it may be used as a fifth case.
Right.
The meaning may be a fifth case even
right.
though it's you know, that we don't really say yes, mod.
Right.
That we can use yatas, yes,
that's not. Right.
I've got something here, but let me tell you this from the dictionary.
Okay.
Okay, yed. So it's yed if you look the word up in the dictionary. Then it says, nominative singular is yaha, ya, or in the neuter, yet, dash,
right.
yed.
Right.
So it's hard, depending upon,
oh,
it's
right.
going to be dependent
right.
totally on the sandhi.
Yeah.
Then if you read, there's like a, you know, a whole page on it, but it says, In the sense of because or since,
mm-hmm.
okay? In this sense, yed is often followed by ted or tetaha as its correlative. See,
mm-hmm.
yet, then it gives a correlative with yet and tetaha. So here, the meaning is since or because.
Mm-hmm. Which would be the same as yes, mod.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's right. But, see, what I would suggest is to look up in the dictionary, yed and tud. And just read this.
Okay.
Study it, because then you'll get more...
Yeah.
You'll just feel more comfortable.
I have a general sense, but I have not focused on the grammar so particularly before. Because
yeah,
normally when you see yed and tud, you kind of know how to use it.
You're used to seeing it as declined, and then you don't feel comfortable. You don't know what to do with it when you don't see it declined.
Mm.
You know? So that's why it's important.
Sorry,
to
Tom.
No, that's okay.
Tangent.
Okay, so let's
that's
go.
Good. It helps to understand it. Okay, so it's yet, and then we have idrishevyaha, which is from idrisha, which means such, right?
Yeah, it's like of such a
such
kind.
Such a kind, okay.
Yeah.
And it's going with the next word, sins, which is, they're both in the ablative. Papebya. Well, it could be dative or ablative. I think it's ablative. Then we have mom, accusative singular for me. And next we have ud adi taraha. And this is actually our third variety of aorist. Finally, the reduplicated form. And it's ud plus tr, which means to draw out or save. And it's second person singular, parasamipada.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So, yeah, that E, that long E, is kind of like a clue. If you, anyway.
Yeah, and he explains it in this. We're going to start reading this today.
Mm-hmm.
And he did talk about it in Goldman also.
So the verb is dri?
It's tri.
Oh, tri.
Yeah, tri. Tri.
Dri.
Or tri.
Dri.
Yeah, it's the
tri. It's in your book here, too.
It's on that list.
Okay.
I think. Or I found it somewhere.
And also in the vocabulary list?
It's in the vocabulary. It's on the vocabulary list.
Udri.
It's aspirate plus the ri.
Udri.
Good. Okay, and then we have tataha, and then satyam, accusative singular, and then we have a compound, anatta, with sharanam, which is a shashti, tatpurush, and it's declined in the accusative singular, so like a refuge for the helpless, and asi, you are, and then present, that's from us, second presence, present, tense, second person singular, you are. You are the refuge of the helpless. And another compound, Vishnu, Pada, Panka Joho.
Mm-mm.
No?
Keep going. Panka Joho.
Oh, the rest of it goes with it too?
Well, you can't just stop it at Joho, right? Because there'd have to be a space. You're thinking Joe would be Jehovah or something, so this all has to go together.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was in the dual.
But still.
Oh, it still wouldn't work. Oh, because it wouldn't be together, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the next.
It'd be Joe.
So I was wondering if that verb, but the next is a verb, so you could have a verb, declined verb in a compound like that?
You know what?
What?
I did the exact same thing. I'm going to give you a hint.
Oh, okay.
Here's the hint. If you take bu and put it in the second person singular, bu becomes bo, mm-hmm. becomes bov. So what is the second person singular of bu? Bhavasi or bhavasi?
Yeah, not
bhavasi.
This is bhavasi.
So you're going to have to do something different.
Oh, so it's not really bu that I'm looking at.
So it's really asi?
Oh, so it's asi probably, yeah. Gosh, and it worked so well. Because it means, because I came up with ood and poo, but I was going to ask you, why is it a long ah there?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, so let's see, what do we have then?
Remember that, who are they talking about here?
They're talking about Ganga.
And is that masculine or feminine?
Feminine.
Ganga.
Ganga.
So?
So what we're left with is, well, we probably have a Sunday. We have a Sunday there, so I don't know.
It's like an and a si. Is it an u ending there?
Mm. Well, think of it being a behuverhi. Then what it would be? How would it end?
We have to end with a long a because it's referring back to Ganga.
Right.
So we would have ud pava.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Okay.
Ud pava. Ud pava from ud bava means to be born or to spring forth
and
from.
And so it's a PVP?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It's just be bringing forth or springing forth.
Okay.
So the from his lotus feet. Okay.
That was a tricky one.
Yeah. It was tricky.
And then we have a C.
Sorry.
Huh? It's not Pankaja, it's Pankaj.
Yeah,
Vishnu Pada Pankaja. It's
Pankaja,
not
Udbhava. Pankaja.
Why?
But it's talking
about Vishnu. It's about Vishnu. Vishnu Pada Pankaja. shouldn't be Pankaja. It should be Pankaj.
No. Because because Ganga is the one who is born from the feet. So Udbhava is adjectival to Ganga.
That's right.
And it's a bahuvrihi Ganga, right? Who is spring, who springs forth. Let me look up, make sure. Right.
But Pada Pankaj is relates to Vishnu.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Vishnu is not feminine. Mm-hmm. But this Pankaj is Vishnu.
No, it doesn't end. Listen.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's a good question.
Pada Pankaj, Udbhava is one word.
Udbhava is different.
Maybe it is not different. Vishnu Pada Pankaj Udbhava is one.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It should be Pankaj. Not Pankaja, that's what it was.
No, okay.
It is Pankaja here because it's in its stem form.
But yeah, Pankaja is right. Yeah. Pankaja Udbhava.
Huh. Pankaja Udbhava. Yeah, that's what I was
that's
saying.
Correct.
Yeah.
It is, but it's not Pankaja.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying for the Udbhava. But another thing to understand is in a compound, it isn't declined. It's just going to be the substantive Pankaja. It's not masculine or neuter there or feminine.
Right. That's right.
It's just in the compound. Yeah. But the Udbhava is feminine because it's adjectival to Ganga.
That's right.
And what was Udbhava mean again?
Existence, generation, origin, production, birth, springing from, growing, you know, the birthplace. Okay. But here, springing from.
That to experience, that is not
Okay,
or birth.
Wow.
You could say like Ganga, whose birth, for whom the birth, or... For who springs forth from
Vishnu Parishankara.
The lotus feet, right?
That was tricky.
Yeah. So the whole compound's adjectival to Ganga, referring to Ganga, right?
Right. Okay, so what it means is, Ganga, you saved me from such sins, or Ganga, from whom? Is that what you would do with the yet there?
No, this is the sense.
But since you saved me.
From sins like this. From sins such as this. That's the Idrisha.
That's what you do with that such as this. Oh, yeah, I remember that from that chapter.
Yeah, right.
Right, like this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
From sins such as this, such sins as this.
Okay.
From sins like this.
What chapter
talk was that? That was the chapter on the comparatives and the superlatives.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't
know that. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I knew it was familiar. I couldn't figure it out. Okay. So, Ganga, since you saved me from sins like this or such as this, would you then say like Tathaha, therefore?
Oh, that's the idea.
Because of that, would you say you are the truth and the refuge of the helpless? Or
take Satyam as an adverb, like truly.
You are truly. Okay.
Truly.
Okay.
Therefore, truly you are.
Therefore, truly you are the refuge of the helpless, and are sprung forth from the two feet, the two lotus feet of Vishnu.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to say two. There's no dual.
Oh, because I was doing.
You were doing two. You can just say, you who have been born, who have sprung forth from, who are born
from the lotus feet
of Vishnu.
So it's actually Vishnu Padapankajaha, and then Udbhava.
Udbhava is all one part of the compound. There's no affixes there.
How did you say two then? Where was the two?
Because I was trying to make that a dual.
Before.
The compound declined in the dual.
Oh, okay, because that's how I got confused. I thought you were ending it there and then it's a sort of. Okay, so the whole thing is one word, right? Vishnu Padapankajaha Udbhava.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds very nice when you say it. It sounds beautiful when you say it.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't everybody clear on it?
Yeah.
Are you okay, Pami, with that?
Yeah.
You are?
Hey Gange. Yadid Vishebhyaha. Pape Bhyo. Mam Udadi Dharas Tataha. Satyam Anatha Sharanamasi. Vishnu pad pankajo bhavasi.
Vishnu pad pankajo bhavasi.
Nice. Very nice. Vishnu pad
pankajo. Okie dokie.
Do you want to do this one?
I don't know.
You can try. And you can
it's nice and short. I can help you.
Okay.
I think you can do it just fine.
Pratararabhya pancha saptatihi. Pancha saptati
tim.
Oh, bindu. Pancha saptatim vrikshan asi jam. Is that right?
Asi jam.
Pratar arabhya. When the pratha starts early in the morning. Is that right?
Yes.
Pancha saptati. It should be 12 actually. But the meaning has been given 70.
It should be 75.
75, yeah.
Pancha saptati. 75 also.
Yeah.
Oh, Pancha Saptati. Okay, mm-hmm. Saptati means 70 and Pancha. Pancha Saptati means 75 Vrikshan. I. Asijam. Vrikshan. Vrikshan is second Bahuvachan. Asijam, I don't know.
Sinch means to sprinkle.
Sinchit.
Sinch means just like to sprinkle.
Sinchit, acha, okay. I sprinkle the 75 trees in the morning.
Yep.
We sprinkled. Right?
Right, we did. We.
Then that Pratar Arabhya, how did you break that?
Pratar Arabhya. This is Prata means the.
Prataha.
In the morning. It's Prataha, no.
Yeah, Pratar or Prataha.
Prataha Arabhya, is it?
Arabhya.
Arabhya.
Oh, when the Prata starts, it means.
Yeah. Arabhya is just in grammatically. Did you get what it is?
It's
grammatically?
An indeclinable past participle. Yeah.
Arab means to begin. So Arabhya means having begun, having started, having commenced in the morning.
Okay.
Pratar is indeclinable. So Pratar, Arabhya.
Oh, it's Pratar or Pratar?
Well, Pratar, then it'll take Visarga, right? But the root is the substantive Pratar.
Right. And so Pratar also, isn't there a Pratar that means every day? Pratah
means no, morning.
Only morning.
Pratahakal.
Pratahakal, but I thought
means
it also...
No.
There's a thing for every day, but that's not...
Dainik.
Pratidine or something.
Pratidine, yeah. Dainik.
Yeah.
But
Pratah
ka bhi kuch
hota hai. Okay. Let me just check that for every... It's not Pratah. Pratah is just in the morning.
Yeah, Pratahakal means morning time.
Mm-hmm.
Did we get it? Did you read it? Tami, did you read it?
Pratara bhasya.
Arabhya, yeah.
Pratara rabhya.
Pratara rabhya.
Pancha saptatim.
Pancha saptatim.
Vrikshanasi chama.
Vrikshanasi chama.
Satyasya.
Actually, sorry.
Oh, do you want to try?
Can I try?
Yeah, please do.
Then you can help me. Vatsasya maranena tat ashiyakaha
vishayakaha.
Sorry.
Tad vishayakaha
sarve manoratha me advasan. Vatsasya maranena, because of, so there's the sixth genitive singular and third person, third case because of instrumental singular. So because of the death of my son, then vishayakaha is to do with the vishayas. Vishayakaha will be the something to do with the vishayas or something to do with the...
You know, when you have it like that, vishayaka, actually it's in the side, but... Like if it often means concerning that,
concerning
or the one
that,
the one who has the subject matter for that.
Yes, yes.
So.
But then the kaha case atara would be
plural, nominative plural.
Just nominative plural, right? Vishakaha. Sarve all. Manoratha will be from is the desires of the mind, I think, or
The desires. You have to add a visarga there, right?
Manorathaha. So that again is going to be nominative plural.
Mm-hmm.
So all, okay, and then mine. That is, I think, sixth case. And then this is the aorist, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Advasan. And so advasan would be, let's see, so it would be third person plural, the unending,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then advasan would make it then the dvas, maybe? Is dvas the...
It's dvams and the anuswara drops.
Dvams, I see. Dvams. And dvams means, I don't know what it means.
To perish.
I see.
Be destroyed.
I see, okay. So they are destroyed. So this is actually referring to the desires of the mind. All the desires of the mind are destroyed. Well, because of the death of my son.
It's not desires of the mind, really. It really, rate is like a chariot of the mind.
Yeah.
So it means just desires, all of my wishes, all of my desires concerning him
are related.
Centered on him.
Vishyakaha, centered on him, are destroyed because of his death.
By his death,
okay.
Then why is this sarve? Sarve is saptami.
All. No, sarve is a pronoun.
It's, yeah.
And the pronoun is declined differently.
Okay.
The nouns. So it would be sarvaha, sarvau, sarve, instead of sarvaha.
Because
of the pronouns.
Pratama, bahuvachana.
Yeah.
Should I read it?
Yeah.
Vatsasya maranena.
Vatsasya maranena.
Tad vishayakaha. Sarve manoratha.
Manoratha.
Is it
Manoratha.
Okay, I didn't
see.
You didn't write it.
Because the visarga is not there. It's not there. It's not. But manoratha.
Yeah. Me advasana.
Me advasan.
Dvasan.
Thank you, Tara.
Yeah.
Kridartam upavanam agamatam. Dampati tayor ni vrittayo rat manaha karuna vat thar tha tham karuna vart tham kataya karuna vart tham. Karuna vart tham. Okay. Krida artham is a compound meaning for the purpose of playing or to play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's accusative singular. Upavanam is garden, which is also purpose of playing. That's also accusative singular. And agamatam is the second variety aorist from gum, and it's the third person dual, apanepada. Mm-hmm. The two went to the garden to play.
Third person dual.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Did I say second? Anyways. The two went to the garden, or the couple went to the garden to play. Oh, I don't have anything for dampati. I'd completely overlooked
Isn't
it.
Isn't dampati the what couple? Does that mean?
Yeah, it means the husband and wife.
Oh, it does mean that.
You don't see it very often, but it's in the dictionary.
I just left it blank completely. Okay.
And it is in the dual.
It's in the dual, okay. And then we have tayoho, which is genitive dual from tud, and nivrittayoho, which is also genitive dual. Those two, the return of those two, of the two. Actually, anyway, that's a PPP. I had a question about that. And there's atmanaha in the genitive singular also.
Sorry, what did you say with tayoho, nivrittayoho?
Tayoho is the genitive dual from tud, right?
Or the locative.
Oh, yes, of course. That makes much better sense.
Prayoho is locative.
Okay. And then nivritta yoho, is that also that's a locative as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why it wasn't working for me. And then atmanaha is the genitive, singular, of your own or of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have karna partham, which is sorrowful news or sad news. It's accusative singular. And kataya is imperative second person singular. Is that right? From cut
yep.
to tell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cut to tell. Okay, so now I think it makes more sense. So the couple, the husband and wife went to the garden to play. Upon the return of those two, you tell them your own sad news or your own sorrowful news.
Tell them, yeah. When they return, did you take an absolute locative, right?
Oh,
I just said upon the return.
Yeah.
But it's, okay. When
Which
return.
Is what?
Oh, yeah, because it's two separate parts again. Okay.
So when they return, tell them your sorrowful news.
Okay.
So both the yoho and nivritta yoho is locative?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
When they both return,
yeah.
Then tell them. You can tell them. Tell them your sorrowful news. One thing I wanted to tell you about this kridartham.
Yeah.
Often when artham ends, it really has an adverbial sense, and it means for the sake of, or for the purpose of, or just for. And it comes really a lot, so just let me read it here, even though I know you probably know this, but nevertheless. It's often used in this sense as the last member of compounds and translated by for, intended for the sake of, on account of, on behalf of, and used like an adjective to qualify nouns. And then it mostly occurs in this sense as artam, arteo, or artaya, and has an adverbial force. And so you can just know that it's often used in that sense as an adverb. You know.
So as an adverb, meaning so it's for the sake of, as an adverb.
Yeah, the reason they're going is for play, in order to play, for playing, for the sake of playing. It doesn't have to be an adverb; it just can be.
Mm-hmm. It could also be like a, what is that, the tum ending, the...
In order to play. It's not like the tum, and it has the same sense.
Same sense,
yeah,
that's
play.
What I meant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, to play.
What is that called, Carol? I forgot. What is that?
Infinitive
of purpose.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Did we get that one?
Long way.
Kridartham
upavanam gamatam.
Kridartham
upavanam
agamatam.
Dampati. Tayor nivrittayor atmanaha. Karunavartam kathaya.
Karunavartam kathaya. Good. Nice, we did it.
Yay!
You
make it so nice.
I think we make it nice because we don't care, we just want
to. We just do it.
We just do it.
We don't just do it, though.
I really do.
At least one of us, two of us, really do it.
Okay, let's look about for next week. What do you think about the...
Did you think we should do five and then five?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Since there's 10 left?
It would actually be, if we did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then we would have four, how many, 1, 2... Only 3 left.
Oh, should we do 4 and 4 then?
Yeah, it's just that those 3 look kind of
hard.
Right,
so we do in one thing. Ending with Asmin? Asmin Mandapi?
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, and then you have to do...
1, 2, 3, 4. It'll be 4
yeah.
and 4. Well, which ones did you say look hard?
The last 4.
The last 4. So maybe
one,
we should
two,
do 5.
Three. And these, there's a couple of easy ones in here.
Okay, so maybe
right,
we can
just
do five.
Yeah. Let's do
yeah,
five
let's do
and then
through.
Do the last.
So meaning the one
machin.
Ending with machin.
Yeah.
Machintata.
Yeah.
Machintita.
Yeah, we'll do that one.
Machintita. Yimbalika dukumartam shutram.
Maybe they're not hard, they just look kind of harder when I'm staring at them. Does that seem okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we can expect to see more of the third variety in this batch, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not that I even see them, but I'm just that's how he works.
The third variety is reduplicated.
Yeah.
It's one.
And they're strange, so.
Yeah, they're strange.
If you work on it, look through the. Oh, we're going to read through the chapter. Yeah, you want to just look at the forms. They're very strange.
Yep.
So for the how do you distinguish the first eras from a just imperfect? The first.
It doesn't take guna vriddhi and all of that, right?
It just adds onto the root.
It doesn't take the right.
It doesn't go through all of the gunas and the rules of the guna. The gunas that has its own rules.
It still adds an oh, doesn't it? Well,
what does it say?
Or something like da. If you had to do da in imperfect versus aorist, isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, but remember that the whole thing is so different because it doesn't take guna vriddhi and it doesn't. It can take some of them take but they don't take ya or aya. You know,
right.
They don't do take the guna signs. You know
the guna signs.
Yeah. Some of them like da might be. I don't know if da is first, fourth, sixth, or ten, but it. I think it. Isn't it possible that it doesn't matter that they could be same? I thought maybe if it's an a ending and it takes a guna or a vriddhi, it's going to be the same a. Right, like da.
It takes the as the takes the as the augment, but not as the guna sign unless unless it says that it does.
Are there any that look the same as just an imperative? I don't think so.
No, but not imperative.
I mean, I'm sorry, it's imperfect.
I don't think so because it doesn't. It doesn't take the guna signs at all.
Right,
but I'm saying if it's an ah ending, whether or not you have a guna sign makes no difference.
Well, it would only be, we'd have to look and see the six guna roots, whether the six guna roots look at all like the aorist, because the six guna roots they don't take guna vriddhi, you know, they don't take guna.
Mm-hmm.
Six guna roots don't take guna. So the first guna roots take guna. There's a possibility that it could look the same on some of them.
So da is to give its first guna.
Da, but da becomes yach. Da yach in the first guna.
Oh, that's how you can tell it out. Mm-hmm. That's why I was thinking that da is going to look the same because I forgot that da becomes yach.
Yeah.
In the okay.
So I mean, that's a good question though. What we could do is go back and look like some of the six guna roots technically could look the same. We'd have to look and see.
But I guess when you're reading, it doesn't matter because they both have a sense of past tense. So probably when you're reading, it's, I don't know.
I'm not used to it. But you know what we can do is when we go through this book, which we're going to do next.
Yeah.
When we go through this, reading this, we can say, oh, that looks just like a six guna.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that.
We can spot it
when we go through this.
Have we had any six guna verbs yet?
I don't know. You mean
because I just wonder if some of these different, you know how there's all these seven ways, the seven different areas, maybe certain gunas are addressed differently, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, I don't know the answer to that, but...
So that might be the way it works itself out.
But that's not something that's, at least I haven't seen that addressed in here, it's a good question.
And that might be why there's different types of eras, I don't know.
Oh, I see. Maybe the six guna is dealt with in a different way or something.
Yeah, we'll see. Why don't we just read, this one's relatively thorough. Bhandarka's pretty thorough. We could read through it.
Yeah.
In the end, you just have to be able to recognize it because you'll never remember all these rules. Yeah.
Do you see a lot of eras, like when you're reading the
Mahabharata?
There is a lot of eras?
It's loads of eras. Yeah. So you have to know it. You have to be able to recognize it. But it does stand out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard to recognize it. It's hard to remember all the rules, you know, because there's so many varieties, but it's not hard to recognize
it. It's not hard to recognize it as being different from imperfect.
It's not hard at all. Yeah. You know it's an aorist. So you have to know what the aorist is, and you just get used to seeing them.
And are they usually used with the ma?
They are. They're like ma, gamahas. So there's some that are really common with ma. Few roots used in the imperative sense like that.
Yeah.
That's also important to know. But yeah, the Mahabharata and the Ramayana use aorist all the time. It's just a simple past, you know.
Probably in the Gita also, maybe there must be a lot of
Lady Masmargam. She's a
Glavi
Mas Margama.
That's right.
Glavium.
Yeah, that's in the second chapter.
That is in the second
chapter. Oh, I see,
Don't be weak.
What?
Don't go to that state of weakness.
Don't go to that state of weakness.
Yeah, like a glavium. Like a neuter.
Yeah, glavium.
Glavium.
Yeah. Oh, like a, I see.
Yeah. Like a eunuch.
She was.
Don't lose your
right,
manliness.
Like he was a eunuch.
Yeah.
When he was hiding.
Okay, shall we read this? Can you guys share?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Ready? Who's going to read first?
Are we reading from Bhandarkar or?
Bhandarkar.
From page 178.
Mm-hmm. The beginning of the era, beginning of lesson 22.
Lesson 22. Okay.
Do we need to get a little refill or anything? A good tea?
I think I'm okay.
No.
I'm fasting you.
Okay.
I'm
fine.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
Number one, the so-called aorist expresses simply the completion of an action without reference to any particular time or a recent or this day's action. It is similar to the English present perfect, which the student will remember, quote, defines an action as having happened in a portion of time which is not yet expired. It brings a past action into connection with the present time, end quote. The aorist should never be used in narratives. And there's a footnote there. In the later Sanskrit literature, the three past tenses are promiscuously used, no distinction being observed among them.
Why should it not be used in narratives? I wonder.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know that either. Should never be used in narratives. Oh, you know, I think maybe when they think of narratives, it's the once upon a time.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they're talking about
so
the past,
like
the perfect is used all the time.
Oh,
then,
okay.
You know, so it has to be when you're talking about something. You know, more in the present.
Uh-huh.
But as he says that, it's very promiscuous now.
It's very loose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Loosely used.
Ajinite vai putraha.
You know, that's really interesting he uses that word.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's no dharma. They're not following the rules.
Yeah, it's worse than just not following the rules. It's got a stronger feeling, too. So, ajinite vai putraha. And that's from, I don't know what AIT stands for, Brahmana.
Aitreya Brahmana.
Aitreya Brahmana. A son has been born to thee. Tadaham tubyam eva, tadami ya eva, satyam avadihi. Same text. I give that to thee who has told only the truth. Udu shriya ushaso rochamana. Astuhu, that's from the Rig Veda. The bright splendors of the dawn have arisen. In parentheses, begun to appear. The aorist too. The aorist is used with the prohibitive particle ma, and has the sense of the imperative. The temporal augment is in this case dropped as ma twam gamaha, do not go. Ma no. Himsit janita yaha prithivyaha. May he who is the creator of the earth not kill us, not hurt us.
That's the mano himsit, right?
Mm-hmm. So then, like in Matva Gamaha,
the same thing.
Oh, is dropped?
Yeah, of the upasarga, I mean the front. The front augment.
Yeah, meaning agamaha. So if we weren't using it with ma, we would just say tuam agamaha. I see.
You would say tuam agamaha. Yeah.
You went. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Um, All right, then three. There are seven varieties of the aorist. The temporal augment, a or a, is prefixed to the roots in this tense as in the imperfect.
Seven varieties.
Kiki, you want to take over?
So the first variety, number one, the terminations of the imperfect are applied to the roots, with the exception of that of the third person plural, which in this case is us. Before us, the preceding a, if any, is dropped. So the endings for the first variety of the aorist, which is the same as the imperfect pars michael except for the us, is amvama, istanta, attam, us instead of attam, un, I think.
Good, instead of un, right.
Right. Number two, pa, to drink, stha, da, dha, and other roots assuming the form of da and dha, in virtue of rule 14, page 82.
94 for us.
Okay.
Let's look at that.
Rule 14, page 82. Okay, it says the final A, I, and O of roots is replaced by A before all terminations, whatever, except those of the conjugational tenses and the present participle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We know that.
What chapter?
Is that the perfect chapter?
Mm. Perfect, yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect chapter. So A, I, or O is replaced by A. Okay. So the same way here, it says, other roots assuming the form of da and ta, ga, which is substituted for e, to go, in the aorist, and bhu, to be, belong to this variety. That means...
Remember we had that word ga?
Yeah.
For e, to go? Yeah.
Belong to this variety, meaning that... Belong to this variety, to the first variety, sorry.
Yeah.
And number three, the third person plural termination in the case of bhu is un, instead of us. And before the terminations beginning with the vowel v is added on to bhu. Dhra, number four, dhra, dhe, sho, so, and sho are conjugated in this way optionally. Their other forms are made up according to the sixth variety.
This is just one of the options. Yeah.
Right. Dhe takes the third aorist also. This variety is parasmaipada exclusively. Such of the roots belonging to it, as are atmanepada also, take the fourth or fifth variety in that pada. Take the fourth or fifth variety of the atmanepada, okay.
You know what that means? Like some of the roots are ubayapada?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so if you're going to do it in the atmanepada, then you'd go to the fourth.
You have to go to the fourth and fifth variety of aorist. So da, to give in the aorist, is declined, is conjugated as adama, adava, adama, adaha, adatam, adata, adat, adatam, aduhu. A being dropped before us by one above. We have ada plus us equals aduhu. Similarly, astuhu, aguhu, etc.
Astuhu from asta, where the a is dropped from sta. And gu from ga. Right, the a is dropped and replaced by us.
Okay, second variety. One, a is added to the root, and then the terminations of the imperfect of the first group of conjugations are applied.
So here there's no replacement of un, right?
No replacement of un with us.
With us, yes. Right. So we have amva ma satam ta ta tam un.
Say istamta.
Istamta. Istamta. It. Tam.
So you know that there's not a
okay.
It tam un.
It. Is. Okay. The us elite is that elided?
Mm-hmm.
Elided before and un, and lengthened before va and ma. See page 6, note.
It's just like gachami,
gachami. That's very common, right?
That's
even
just
present
normal,
tense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Apanapadak forms are I vahi mahi, tas, itam.
Tas.
Tas, yeah. I thought I said that. Itam, dwam, anta, itam, anta. The a is elided before anta and lengthened before vahi and mahi, as above. The radical vowels do not take their guna or vritti substitute. 3. This variety is parasmaipadam, but with a few exceptions. 4. Some roots are conjugated in this way, optionally, and some necessarily. The most important of these are given in the following list. Did you want me to read all these verbs?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
You're serious?
Yeah.
Okay. These are the necessarily list. Lip, sitch.
No, you have to read with the English. Lip to anoint.
Oh, lip to anoint. Sitch to sprinkle.
That's what we have.
Hui to call. But hui go takes the form of hu. These three roots when Atmanapada take this variety optionally. Us, which becomes ust, to throw. Op, to obtain, kud, to be angry, klum, to be fatigued, ksham, fourth conjugation to forgive, kya, which becomes kya in parasmaipada and atmanapada, to tell, gum, to go, krut, to be greedy, kus, to devour, tum, to be distressed in body or mind, trush, to be satisfied, trish, to be thirsty, dum, to be tamed, dush, to be depraved. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to hurt or to act the traitor.
Wow.
Nush, to perish, put, which becomes puffed, to fall, pish, to pulverize or to grind, push is fourth conjugation to nourish. Pram, fourth conjugation, to wander or to err. Mud, to be mad. Much, to leave or to release. Muk, to be silly. Lup, to cut. Lup, fourth conjugation, to covet or to speak. Vach, which takes the form of vonch in parasmaipada and atmanapada, which means to speak. Oh, I see, that's to speak is up there. Shuk, to be able. Shud, to perish or to wither away. Shum, to be calm. Shas, which becomes shish, to govern, to regulate, or to rule. And then shish, to distinguish. Shud, to be purified. Shram, to exert oneself. Shlish, is that how you say that?
Shlish.
Fourth conjugation, to adhere. Sud, to be dejected or to sit. Sit, fourth conjugation, to be ready. Srip, to move or to creep. Snit, to bear affection to. Swid, fourth conjugation, to perspire. Hrish, fourth conjugation, to be glad.
I wonder if sarp, then srip means to creep. Does sarp come from that?
Yeah.
Isn't that
amazing?
Sarpa.
Isn't that great? That's
yeah.
Why it's so beautiful.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, and then this is the optionally list, which optionally take the second form. Kshud, to reduce to powder. Gush, to proclaim. Chut. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Chut, yes, to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Chid, to cut off. Jr, which becomes jar.
Jara.
To become old. Trip, to be satisfied. Drip, to be proud. Drish, which becomes darsh, to see. Ninch, to wash off. Pud, to know. Bhid, to penetrate. Yuj, to join. Rich, to make empty. Rud, to cry. Rud, to obstruct. Vich, to separate. Shuch, or such.
Shuch.
What's a
such? Shuch. Sorry.
Oh, shuch. Okay. Fourth conjugation, to be pure. sui, mm-hmm. from, which becomes swa to swell.
Shwa.
Shwa. Oh, sorry. Shui and shwa.
Yeah.
Skund, which becomes skud to jump upwards. Shish to distinguish. Oh, we did that. Sorry. Stum, which becomes stub to obstruct. Spud, first conjugation to break off. The following roots of the first conjugation are generally Atmanepada, but when they take this variety of the aorist, they become Parasamipada. So, klip, oh my gosh, how do you say that? Klip?
Mm-hmm.
To make four, to ten, to,
ten,
to fours. Ten fours. Shub, to become agitated. Jut, to shine. Dwams, mm-hmm. which becomes dwas, to perish. Brumsh, which becomes brush, to fall. Ruch, to shine. Ruch to shine. Is that drit? Vrit to be. Vrid, to increase. Shub, to shine, to look decent. Siund, which becomes syed, to drop. Srams, which becomes sras, to fall down or drop down.
Is it srams or ram?
Oh, is it
srums?
Srums. Sorry, srums, and becomes sras, to fall down or to drop down, and swid, to perspire.
Is kulrip one of the very few ones with the ra in there?
Yeah, and it's like almost, I think, maybe the only root that has a ra.
That
has we a use ra? It all the time, like kulpa, kulpa yati.
Oh.
It means we use it for projection. If
only kulpana.
Imagination and projection,
right.
Yeah. Because that's the guna. Lura becomes all.
Wow.
Right?
Lura becomes all. Right.
Yeah. So kalpa.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Kalpana.
So krip, kalpana is the root is krip.
Yes. Yeah.
To lay four to ten turrets.
To imagine, to project. That's what we often translate it as, like the projection of the universe.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, drip, which means to be proud.
Darpa.
Darpa, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because then again, it's re and ar.
Yeah,
ar.
Yeah,
darpan.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Darpan is mirror, right?
But then darpan is.
Darpan is not.
Then darpan is mirror.
Yeah.
Looking at yourself all the time. That's so funny. I never made that connection before. Darpan is mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, all of these
great.
Roots that
so
he
great.
Says, he's picking up the most important because these roots. Are so common.
Mm.
You see them in their forms all of the time, so they're important roots. That's why I thought it would be good to read them.
Yeah, no, they're great.
Yeah.
It's
great.
Nice to read these.
Yeah.
All right. Five of these, Shui takes the third and fifth varieties besides this, and the rest, the fourth or fifth, according to as they are enit or sate. Six. Shli takes the seventh variety when it means to embrace. Seven. Such of the roots in the two lists are conjugated in the Atmanepada, with the exception of those mentioned above, take the fourth or fifth variety in that pada. And then he goes through push. I gotta get my other book. Oh, this is the book, the bigger book. Oh my god. Okay. Apusham, apushava, apushama, apushaha, apushatam, apushata, apushatam, apusham, apushan. And then the Atmanepada, that was the Parasmaipada, the Atmanepada for
Vaj
is avoche. Avochavahi, avochavahi, avochamahi, avochataha, avochetas, tam, avochadwam, avochata, avochatam, avochata.
What does vach mean to say?
Vach means
to speak.
Yeah.
So that avocha, you have to remember that's the initial form.
Mm-hmm.
Avocha. Yeah, O goes to O.
Yeah.
Did we read that?
Yeah, we did. It's there in this list.
Okay.
As an exception, and the necessarily.
Yeah.
Vach becomes bocha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vach becomes boch. Okay, let's do the third priority next time.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's good. Oh, nice. It's really interesting. Sorry.
I was wondering about these words. Asta. Where did they come from? The meaning that
is. Star. Star means to stand.
Oh.
And then it becomes astuhu, the ah drops. And what was the other one?
Asti. Asti star something.
To be, that's just from
that. But that's an aspirate, right? Asti.
Asti, yeah.
Yeah. And but that's from the root as to be.
Oh. Okay.
And asi is the second person singular, right? From us. But that's different than sta. When they had that example of astuhu, that's from sta. What are you using in the book? Where is it then?
I was just wondering about the words.
But where are you?
They're all the same. I mean, they're different. Asti, astu.
Oh.
They're so similar. That's what I was wondering. Astu.
Oh, without aspirate?
Yes, without the
astu. Oh, astu is the imperative second, third person plural. Astu, let it be, may it be.
The dhatu is us.
Us.
Okay, so the dhatu is us.
The dhatu is us to be. Right, so
astu, asti, and astu.
Astu is the third person singular, imperative, let it be.
Yeah.
Asti is it is, he, she, it is. Asti is you are.
Asta is not
Udayan, asta.
Udayan, asta.
Means
to rise and to set.
Yeah,
but that is not from, asta is not from the dhatu.
No,
us.
Is it?
No, that's like astam. Astam. That's okay. Just a minute. It's different.
Asta.
The cause to.
Yeah.
But that is the imperative of
us.
And then asti.
I thought you were talking about something else.
And then, but asta is, I don't think that's from the ta to us. Asta is to separate the sunsets. Udayan. I don't know what bus this.
I think it's, you know, when you use, like, astam, right, it goes down.
Oh, that sounds with more like it.
Yeah.
Ast, but actually the
as,
word is, in Hindi at least it's ast. Maybe.
Let me just, let me see something in there. Yes, to the, asta. Asta. It is asta. It's not a verb. I was looking for the verb from the verb as.
Okay.
Asta means like setting as the sun or luminaries.
So it's a noun?
Asta.
Asta is a... No,
it's a noun, yeah.
Asta is a noun?
Mm-hmm, masculine. Masculine. So astam... See, because astam gachati, it always goes with a form of gum. It goes down, right? So it goes to a state of setting.
Right, see? So the state is a noun. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Goes to that. So you say like astam gachati is kind of a familiar
astam
way of saying like the sun sets.
Mm.
You usually use it with gum.
So if the noun is asta.
Mm-hmm.
Masculine, you said?
Mm-hmm. Can also be used as an indeclinable. You can use it. And here they have it like that. Like if I said... astam gachati, or astam yati, to go down, to set. Right, it goes down. It's a masculine noun, but can also be an indeclinable, and I think when you're using it with the form of the verb to go, right, it means it goes down like the sun goes down.
Okay. Astam gachati.
And then astam is used as an indeclinable then.
I see.
Okay. That's what it says here.
So asta is actually a noun. It's not related to the verb, to the root as. It means to go down.
And if you use it like as an indeclinable, at home, especially used with verbs, and then when used with ya or gach, it means to go down. Like astam gachati, suryaha, astam gachati, the sun goes down, like that. And then you can just say rises udayati.
So it's not astati.
Like no, it's not us to be.
It's
asta. And astam is the indeclinable. So astam gachati.
And where does this word come? Ashwasana. The deities, the Ashwans?
No. That's not what you mean.
Ashwasana.
Breathing?
Ashwasta.
What does it mean?
Ashwasta ganamana.
Ashwasan, to give support, to say no, it'll be okay. Ashwasan, so to reassure. Ashwasan. Maybe that's only in Hindi. It's in Sanskrit.
Ashwasan. Breathing freely, reviving, becoming cheerful is ashwasan. So say if I would look for the verb, it would be. Let me try this. Ashwasa would be not the verb, but
Ashwasa
would be cheering up, consolation, relying on, and that probably comes from Ashwas. Let me try. Oops. No, not Ashwas. It could be Ashwas. Ashwas. So you want to take when you're trying to go back to the verb, you usually take like that ah. You take it back to the simple vowel If there's no ashwas, which there usually isn't a vriddhi letter in the verb, in the dhatu, so you'll take it back to Like I looked up ashwas, okay, it's not there, I'm going to take it back to short So ashwas is to take or recover breath, take heart or courage, to revive, to encourage, to comfort, to comfort, to calm, to console, to cheer up. So ashwas.
So ashwas is the root?
Yeah.
That's a long root.
It is. It's ashwas most is roots are
and it's got
almost
an ah in there.
Well, that's that ah as a it is a little unusual, but I think say ah is an upasarga.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now so then take off the upasarga and go just to shwas.
Shwas. Oh. Yeah.
Shwas.
Sounds really awesome.
We still have to say our prayer.
Yeah.
Shwas. Swash means is, so now you've taken off the upasarga, the preposition, and now you have to breathe, to respire, to sigh, to groan, to strike, to kill, to cause heavy breathing, to blow, to hiss, to pant. But if you put the ah in it, to kill, to cause to blow or breathe, to cause heavy breathing, it has all of these other meanings, just swash. So when you put that upasarga there, it changes it, you know. So you have to strip all these things off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can we say our prayer?
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri